Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado. Also a pastor, but the reason that I broadcast from my basement out here in Elbert, Colorado, is I'm a father of five, and so is Dave. And we engage in cultural commentary. We look at politics, economics, human behavior, social conditions, and things like education, economics, and politics because we happen to be fathers. And we happen to care about the issues. Why? Because we're raising another generation. We're hoping to establish some vision for the future generations. We're hoping that fathers and mothers will begin to take seriously their position of raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord has saddled them with the responsibility of raising children rightly, and unfortunately, that's not happening everywhere. Dave, a lot more incidences of violent teens out there. I have a number of stories right here on my desk right now. I think we need to deal with these. And then we want to talk about how to raise our children rightly in the area of kindness. But first of all, teen killings are way up to thrill-seeking teens. And by the way, they call these thrill kills now. Anyway, this AP story talks about two thrill-seeking teenagers who stabbed an adult acquaintance for the thrill of it, just for the fun of it. They severed his head. They did all sorts of unusual, horrible things to this man, and they tossed him into the river. They made plans on how they would clean up the blood, said the prosecutor, Kim Worthy. They made plans on how they would dispose of the body. Anytime anyone kills, just because they want to. And that's what the evidence seems to suggest here. It's bone-chilling, says Kim Worthy. Why anyone would want to do that, especially being 17 years old, it makes us think and ask a lot of questions about our society. And boy, it does. Dave, I think at some point these kids get tired of violent games, violent video games. They get tired of the reality shows, just not real enough. So they got to go take it to the next level. I think this may be a bit of the tip of the iceberg as to what's happening in the hearts and minds of a lot of kids today. There's not a kindness. Would you call this kind, Dave? A kindness, a consideration for their fellow human being?
No, I wouldn't. I'm sure there are some liberals who would say that their lives are painful and horrible, and so you're doing them a favor by killing them if you can do it gently. I just think these kids are living out the worldview that they've been taught. And if you think about it, if human life is the same value as animal life, you have two options. Either it's wrong to eat animals and go hunting and that sort of thing, or it's equally as right to go hunting for humans. So I think they're living out an anthropology that they have been taught self-consciously at the public schools, on the television, from the video games, etc.
Oh, I agree. I agree entirely. In fact, these boys don't understand that humans are made in the image of God. At least they've denied that fact. And, you know, the same thing is happening out in Finland. You remember the story? I think this was November 7th. So it would have been a week or two ago. In Finland, a high school kid does the Columbine thing out in Finland. He wipes out eight people on November 7th, 2007, and he even posted a video prior to this massacre. And Dave, this is horrific, the sorts of things that he has on this video. I'm prepared to fight and die for my cause. Read a posting by a user of the same name posted on the YouTube video. I, as a natural selector, he writes, will eliminate all who I see unfit, disgraces of human race, and failures of natural selection. Turns out this guy calls himself an antisocial social Darwinist. You know, he sees himself as a Darwinist. He defines himself as a faithful follower of Charles Darwin, also Nietzsche. And here's another quote from this guy. Not all human lives are important or worth saving. Humans are just a species among other animals. And the world does not exist only for humans. That sounds like just about every other environmentalist I've ever heard, Dave. I mean, would environmentalists disagree with this guy?
Probably not, because there's many environmentalists who are involved in their own similar jihad. The environmental jihad would say that humans are a problem to natural selection because we're changing the process. After all, spotted owls are people, too.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah. And more important than people. I mean, that's effectively what the environmentalists are saying today, is when it comes down to who's more important or what's more important, animals, the species that ought to be protected, are more important than humans. And so in some ways, Dave, this environmentalism is all warped, because I thought at one time, I thought Darwin taught that humans were the most advanced species. And so if that be the case, then maybe we ought to wipe out all the other animals. I don't know. I mean, if it's survival of the fittest, why don't we get rid of all the other animals and let humans have the best shot at it?
Well, I think there's a more foundational question to be asked first, and that is the most advanced the best? In other words, is there a reason why the advanced should survive? Maybe what should survive is the most simplest, maybe the amoeba. Who says life is even valuable? I mean, yeah. We got to get to value and
who says the advancement of any species is important? Maybe we shouldn't advance any species. Maybe the more we advance the species, we wind up with more troubles. Dave, you know, the bottom line here is, once you have cut yourself off from a God who is the source of any human truth, if you cut yourself off from any ultimate source of truth, then you have no basis for ethics whatsoever. I mean, our brains are nothing more than natural processes akin to grass growing in the backyard. So, Dave, you know, these people have already loosed themselves from any possibility for an absolute ethic or for the ability to state any truth in an absolute way whatsoever. And by the way, this guy wiped out 8 kids. And I think a few administrators out in Finland, he made a tribute video for Pentti Linkola, who is a well-known Finnish intellectual and ecologist. I guess this is just environmentalism. This is ecology being self-consistent, Dave, just wiping out other species. And, you know, sharks do this sort of thing, too. So, sharks have been known to wipe out other animals.
Other sharks, yeah.
So, again, my friends, if you become a consistent evolutionist, ecologist, environmentalist, if you become the consistent humanist, the natural materialist that you find in your average university, in your average public high school today, in the average biology textbook, if you have cut yourself off from God being ultimate, the absolute God existing and his existence being more real than our own existence, if you cut yourself off from the existence of God and the fear of God, you have no basis whatsoever for ethics. And, my friends, without the Christian God, then we have given ourselves up to all forms of paganism and this sort of thing. And by the way, this is just the tip of the iceberg. By the way, Dave, do you know where all this modern violence began? It sort of began with the Loeb-Leopold trial back in 1924, when these two young schoolboys, they were some 19, 20 years of age. They had actually just graduated from high school. They had, I think, started their college work. These two young schoolboys confessed to killing a schoolmate because he was an inferior species. Leopold was 18 years old at the time. They believed themselves to be Nietzschean supermen who would commit a perfect crime. Leopold, in this particular crime, and by the way, they took a little boy, I think he was 12, 13 years of age, and they just selected him at random. They were watching outside of a school, and they were watching the little boys coming out of the school, and they picked one at random, threw him into the back of their car, murdered him there, and Leopold told one reporter why we even rehearsed the kidnapping at least 3 times, carrying it through in all details, lacking only the boy we were to kidnap and kill. It was just an experiment. It is easy for us to justify, as an entomologist, is impaling a beetle on a pin. Dave, is that chilling or what? I mean, these guys were as self-consistent Nietzschean Darwinists as you could get.
And if you recall, who their defense attorney was, the one who tried to justify their behavior, was also famous for something down in Tennessee.
That's right. The Scopes trial. It was Clarence Darrow. I believe one of the most evil men that has ever existed. Ever existed in the history of the world. Clarence Darrow, one of the most evil men that has ever lived, defended these men, and he got them off as well.
And he used the same reasoning used in the Scopes trial. It was natural selection.
It was, he had to do it. It was programmed into his system. That's what Clarence Darrow said. He could not help but do it. It was part of his ape-like nature. Apes and animals do this sort of thing, so how could he avoid doing it? That was Darrow's reasoning. And they quote, "It is hardly fair to hang a 19-year-old boy for the philosophy he was taught at the university." That was another point he made. And, you know, again, he's learned to be a Nietzschean Darwinist. You know, he's learned this in the university. Why wouldn't he act this way? This is Clarence Nero, one of the most evil men that has ever lived in the history of the world, defended the Leopolds and Loebs. And they continued to defend these guys. And unfortunately, Clarence Darrow is basically the guy writing the biology textbooks today, Dave. He's the guy who won. He won the battle. He won the Scopes trial. He won the Leopold Loeb trial. He has defended the right to murder. Clarence Darrow defended the right to murder first intellectually and philosophically by defending Scopes and the Scopes trial, and then secondly, he did it by defending Loeb and Leopold. He did everything he possibly could to justify murder at epistemological level by defending Darwinism and naturalistic humanism, and he did the same thing by defending these guys who actually murdered a little boy. Some 75 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just the beginning of it. Now, in a moment, we want to talk about why children kill and how we can teach our children not to kill. Now, you say, why is that important? Well, because God exists, and God said, thou shalt not murder. Those are God's words. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a moment to talk about the real issues of life and how they impact our own families. Stay with me.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Back on Generations, friends, and on the wake of another school massacre, we are broadcasting this program on kid killers. These kid killers have existed since the early 1900s when the Nietzschean way of thinking, the Darwinian philosophy, was beginning to take root in the hearts of people everywhere across this nation. And now, across the entire Western world, including Finland, where a young man just wiped out 8 more people because he believed, again, in natural selection. Dave, you remember the guys who shot up all those kids and that school teacher at Columbine some 6 years ago. Remember their T-shirts, natural selection. These guys, again, were committed Nietzscheans. They were committed Darwinists. They really believed in what they were taught in the biology class. They were acting out exactly what they had been taught. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why children kill is, number one, their hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Let's not blame primarily the teachers. Let's not blame the universities. Let's not blame Nietzsche or Darwin. We're going to blame the human heart. The reason why children kill is because they tend to evil. Period. Hatred comes natural. Love is a miracle. Dave, I mean, you've been raising children. You agree with that statement?
That the heart is wicked?
Yeah, and that hatred is natural.
It's interesting, Kevin. We haven't had to teach our children to sin.
Yeah.
We haven't had any lessons in that.
Yeah.
They all are pretty good at it, though.
Yeah, yeah. And you ever had to teach them no, the word no? Just think about that. The word no, or the slap in mom's face when they're a year old.
Or mine, yeah.
You ever have to teach them no and mine? No. They know those words from birth. But try to teach them yes. Try to teach them to be kind to their brothers and sisters. Try to teach them to be generous and loving and giving of themselves. Dave, I'm still working on my 16-year-old on that issue. I'm admitting it right now. I mean, we're not there yet. You know how many times we have sung the song, Be Ye Kind One to Another, Tender-Hearted, Forgiving One Another? I mean, that is our liturgy. I've mentioned it on the air before. We sing that song 3 to 4 times a day and have for the last 15 years. All right, so what does that come out to? I don't know. It's 47,647 times. We have sung, "Be ye kind one to another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us." You know, we have sung that song so many times every single day. And Dave, you know what? My children are still struggling with kindness with each other. Love is a miracle, my friends. Love is a miracle. Hatred comes naturally. And every child is like a raging bull that wants to express his hatred as much as he possibly can. And if he is not restrained by godly, careful instruction, by the laws of God that would be imposed by schools or by culture or by the state, unless he's restrained, he will kill, and he will kill without restraint. Ladies and gentlemen, children are naturally selfish. They're out for themselves. Now, why are children killing more than ever today? Why do we have the Leopolds and Loebs and the Finnish boy wiping out 8 more people last week? Why are we doing these sorts of things? Why are children killing more? Because the law of God that once restrained them has been cut loose. Because they're not teaching the law of God as Lutheran churches used to teach those things in Finland for hundreds of years. In fact, you're not allowed to teach that. Humanism dominates the schools in Finland, as it does in America. You're not allowed to place, "God says, thou shalt not murder." That is absolute law on the walls of any schoolroom in America, period. You're not allowed to do that. And because children are no longer restrained by the teaching of the laws of God in Finnish schools or in American schools, children will kill more. It's just that simple. Darwinism, Nietzsche, Sartre cut away the restraints of the law of God. These guys did this because they hated God and his law. They didn't want a creator. If you have no creator, you have no ethical authority left. And if we have no connection to God in origins or in providence, then we lose any possibility for an absolute ethic. Nobody can speak with any ethical authority whatsoever and say, "You shall not kill that little boy and pin him to your insect board." Just can't happen. Just won't happen. You can't say that. Nobody can say that anymore. Dave, they've lost the ethical authority to be able to stand up in classrooms and say, "You can't pick one of these 12-year-old boys and pin him to your insect board anymore." They can't say that because they've given up the right to speak authoritatively in the area of ethics. I mean, how can a piece of cosmic dust stand up and say, "Hey, we're just cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance, but you can't kill me"? How can a cosmic dust say that to another piece of cosmic dust in a universe of pure chance? Give me a break. Ethics is impossible today.
Essentially, Kevin, we'll be raising children with a godless nature the moment we teach them about nature without God. In other words, when we teach them that nature exists independent of the God of nature, those children will act godless. They will have an evil nature because all we've taught them is the nature of evil. This is the thing that we're engaged in the secular humanist public school system. We are trying to remove the God of ethics, and what they come out with is an ethical system that is, well, it's a shotgun approach. It seems that today the worst thing, the very worst thing you could do is not kill somebody, not kill a baby in the womb, not kill a dying older person by euthanasia. The most evil thing you could do is the N-word, maybe.
And Dave, what we're reading about with Finland is just the tip of the iceberg. And just the fact that 50 million babies have been slaughtered by their mothers and fathers and abortionists over the last 35 years. 50 million babies slaughtered. Now, maybe everybody listening to this program today, you haven't gone out and murdered a child, or a little baby in the womb, or a 12-year-old, or whatever. Maybe you haven't pinned a little boy to your insect board. Maybe you haven't done that yet. Maybe you're not one who has contributed to 50 million babies being slaughtered over the last 35 years. But Dave, you know what? We are all basically inheriting the intellectual ideas of people like Nietzsche, Darwin, and others. We have cut ourselves off from the ethical authority of God. We hardly recognize God anymore. We don't realize ourselves to be created in the image of God. And when you stab a human being with your words, when you talk down, when you yell at your child and demean that child who is made in the image of God, when you use hateful language and unkind speech, according to James, you're attacking, you're cursing the very image of God. you're taking what God created and you're throwing it back in his face. And Dave, I think what's happening here is we as a society have become extremely unkind. It's not just the people who've killed people that have the problem. All of us have the problem. We don't see ourselves as people who ought to love one another because God loved us and sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. I just don't think we believe those sorts of things anymore, Dave. We have so distanced ourselves from the God who is the creator and the sustainer and the redeemer, the savior of mankind, that we hardly know what it is to obey his law.
Well, of course we don't. We're offended at the bloodlust of Islam. And yet on American soil, humanists have killed 10,000 times more than Islam has.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that just blows my mind. That's unbelievable. And Dave, it's us. We have done that. And we need to begin again to renew relationships, my friends. We need to begin to love our brothers and sisters. We need to stop committing divorce and hating our husbands and wives. Dave, that's another example. I mean, 50% of evangelical pastors are divorced. Why? Because they're hating just like everybody else is hating. There's hatred in those homes. These husbands and wives can't get along together because they hate each other so much. Oh, there's hatred everywhere. There's more hatred today than there was 100 years ago by a long shot. And a lot of it, yes, is because guys like Nietzsche, Darwin, etc. has given us the intellectual excuse to hate and to kill. And certainly they gave Stalin and Hitler those intellectual excuses to kill. And indeed, the humanists of the 20th century have killed more people than anybody else in the history of the world. So, yeah, the humanists are huge killers. They absolutely positively hate. They hate God and they hate his law. And that's why, of course, they don't live by his law. Dave, but let's talk about our own families. How can we teach kindness in our own families? We only have a minute or two left here on this program. But I think the very first thing we ought to do is we don't walk up to our children and say, you know, children, there's no God, there's no creator, but I still want you to be kind to each other. That's what public school teachers do. You know, there's no creator. There's no reason to be kind, but I still want you to be kind. But teacher, why should I be kind? Because I said so and I'm going to kill you unless you're kind to somebody. Oh, you know, okay, well, that means a lot to them, I'm sure. They have no basis for kindness. Number one, I think we need to teach our children, hey, let's be kind because God exists. And God is the creator, and God is kind. God is good. God has given us so many good things. If God has been good to us, boy, we've got to be good to others as well.
And I think one of the ways that you need to work that in and manifest itself amongst your children is you need to change their entertainment. Children, like adults, will naturally be entertained by evil, poking their sister, making fun, you know, all those things. The movies that we watch, we're entertained by the wickedness, by the evil. We like the Freddy Kruegers and the chainsaw massacres, etc. Rather, we need to replace that and learn something new, and that's the beauty of holiness. We need to be entertained by righteousness, by beauty, God's beauty, and so that we see that it actually can be fun to say kind words, to have peace, to serve your sister, to do kindness.
And Dave, it's an uphill battle for us. We're constantly fighting that lack of kindness in our children. They can be so rude to each other. They could tease each other. They can mock at each other so easily. Now, we try to get on this every single time, and I suppose we have probably trained it out of our children some 40,000 times in the last 10 years. I mean, we do it almost every day, and we do it consistently, and yet there's still that lack of kindness. Now, one of the things that we really try to do is as have our children serve each other as well, to the point of sacrifice. I mean, even as Jesus served us, Jesus came to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus, the very Son of God, came from the very heights of heaven, comes all the way down to earth. He washes his disciples' feet, and then he goes and dies for them. Dave, I mean, that kind of sacrificial love is something that I think our children, especially our boys, can learn. And yet it's difficult to learn that lesson, isn't it?
It is. And Jesus didn't wash their feet because of all the disciples had done for him. He did it knowing that Peter was going to deny him. He did it knowing that Thomas was going to doubt him. He did it not because of anything in the disciples. He did it because of a holiness that was resident within him. He did it because it was right.
Yeah. God was kind to us, and Jesus, the Son of God, gave His life for us so that we would be forgiven, and of course, so we would forgive others. And forgiveness certainly needs to be part of that kindness. We don't allow any bitterness in our home, not for a minute, not for 5 minutes. If we think there might be a little bitterness on the faces of our children, oh, we just deal with that as quickly as possible. You need to forgive your brother and forgive him now. And we bring them in together, and they eventually will hug each other and kiss each other, and then they're best friends again. We just make sure that there is kindness and forgiveness flowing throughout the home all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, don't underestimate the power of sin in the hearts of children, but don't underestimate the power of the atonement that came by way of the Son of God who gave His life for us. Sin is a metaphysical reality. Evil is very real for Christians. Hatred really does lurk in the hearts of our children. Only because God is real and God's law exists, and we are well aware of the severe repercussions of hearts that rebel against a holy Creator. But we're also very well aware of what God did to take care of that horrible metaphysical reality of sin, and that was the atonement of Christ. So let's show our children the kindness of God in forgiving our sins because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. That, my friends, I believe is the beginning of true kindness in the home. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson, and you can interact with this program by emailing me personally at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.